Welcome to the National Bicycle Greenway's Mountain Mover podcast series. Here you will get up close and personal with people who are taking giant steps for the betterment of cyclists and for the planet itself.
We have with us here from her factory in Santa Cruz, California, the grand dame of the recumbent cycling industry, Melanie Vasuzzi. With her company, Freeform Fashions, Melanie has been making apparel for cyclists and their bikes since 1982. In the words ahead, you will hear how much fun Melanie has in her work as a high-tech seamstress and why her customers come back over and over again.
So, Melanie, before we find out more about Melanie, I want to find out more about Freeform Fashions. What exactly is Freeform Fashion?
Oh, I had Freeform Fashions for about 25 years, and I started out making crazy spandex tights. That was my beginning, and it just sort of unfolded from there. Some woman saw them on a friend of mine, and she wanted to rep them, and she was with the Tower Records, was one of her accounts, so I kind of fell into the rock and roll genre of clothing, and that was very big in the early to mid-80s. We made thousands and thousands of crazy tights with lace and fringe and snakeskin and zebra and leopard and tiger and you name it, and lots of colors. And then it sort of moved more toward sort of sportswear, and I was a cyclist, so I developed a line of cycling wear because that was my passion, and just kind of went from there. I would dabble in swimwear, kidswear for a while, and so it just had a, it's in a constant state of evolution, shall we say.
So what year was that that you began Freeform Fashions?
I think it was
1982. 82. And let's see if I understand this. So essentially, I guess maybe I'm going to try to back into this starting date for you. The evolution began with a spandex for the marketplace of people that wore tights with frizzy, frilly stuff. And at what point did you
It was just that they were, no one had made pattern tights. And I made a pair, my first pair was pink with white polka dots. And it was just kind of a light bulb over the head, and it just really took off on its own.
Huh.
And went from there. And
wow.
I had gone to design school. I worked in the garment industry in Los Angeles, and so I had a background in the clothing business.
Okay, so Melanie, who wore the, not so much who wore these types, but what kind of material was available for you to use back in 1982, is that what you said?
1982, nylon,
yeah.
Lycra.
Nylon Lycra, so that was available back then.
Oh, it's been available, you know, think about girdles from the 50s and 40s.
Okay.
That was nylon, that was Lycra.
Huh.
You know, in the Lycra fiber itself, it's just kind of like, it's like little tiny rubber bands, basically.
Uh-huh.
And that is incorporated with other, you know, your main fabric or fiber. So it could be nylon, it could be cotton, it could be rayon, it could be anything.
So this type of,
and especially today, everything has a little bit of stretch in it these days.
Uh-huh. So this type of fabric was available in the 50s?
Mm-hmm.
But not in the bright colors, though.
No.
Okay. So did you have to do something special to get the bright colors going out of the fabric?
No, or? In the 80s, it's not so easy to get all of that anymore. It's kind of narrowed itself down. But in the 80s, they were just printing. I mean, basically, they made the fabric for swimwear.
Huh. Okay.
And so there were all kinds of crazy prints out there. I had stuff printed. You know, I was using, like I said, I did a lot of rock and roll clothes, so we used lots of zebra. I had zebra in seven colors, just one particular, you know, pattern I had in seven different colors.
Huh. So at what point did you evolve or make the move to cycling wear? Do you know what year that was?
Well, like I said, I started cycling in the, well, I've always, you know, I guess been a cyclist since I was a little kid, but I got into, you know, some serious road riding in the mid-80s.
Uh-huh. So were you?
And so I just,
Go ahead.
Because
I
had all the equipment and the know-how, I just made myself some cycling wear.
Huh. And it seems to me like cycle clothing didn't, for many years, didn't used to be the bright and colorful. It was the bland, the drab, the black to cover the grease stains you inevitably get from your chain and such like that. At what point did cycle wear, were you on the leading edge of those people that created cycle wear? And I think you were, that was colorful?
Yeah, because I was using, cycle wear, the shorts were mostly, originally, because cycling's been around since the
turn of
the century.
Sure.
All your shorts were wool shorts, and your jerseys were wool. Because
right.
Wool is a great fiber because it absorbs moisture without feeling wet. I think wool can absorb 30% moisture without feeling wet.
Uh-huh.
Although wool does stay wet forever, but you don't feel wet. Now we have an amazing array of synthetic fibers that are better than wool. So that's what they used. And then, the synthetics came along and, they started making the shorts, your basic black cycling shorts. And I started making jerseys out of the print because that was what I was into, was all the wild, crazy stuff. So you could have crazy jerseys.
Huh.
Now we have more, wicking savvy fibers now, all the wicking polyesters and things like that.
So were you
and
one of the first? Were you one of the first, Melanie?
Possibly.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, step up and say I was the one, but, I was just into making crazy stuff. And
So
I carried over into cycling wear.
Wow. So back then, who were your clients? Were you selling the bike shops, or did you have distributors working for you? And I'm talking bike wear now.
Let's see. Bike shops, mostly bike shops.
Here, locally?
And, of course, individuals.
Were they local bike shops?
Sometimes. What? Some of it was, national.
Uh-huh. Huh. Wow. So then, at what point did the cycle garment industry, I can remember going to Interbike and just seeing like almost every other booth was a garment manufacturer. There was a point in time where it just was going ballistic. And then that started going away. At what point did it become such that the industry had a shakeout and garment wear was pretty much predominated, I guess, by the big boys or something like that? Is that what happened?
Yes. When I was doing, more sportswear, swimwear, workout kind of stuff, there were lots of little companies, and I used to do like the big action sports retailer shows. And then when Nike and Reebok decided that they were going to move into the apparel world, that was kind of the beginning of the end of all the small people.
Mm-hmm.
And then they made all kinds of apparel, cycling apparel, running apparel, basketball, you name it. Sportswear stuff. So they kind of forced a lot of little guys out of business.
Do you know about what year that would have been? Would that have been probably the late 80s, early 90s?
Late 80s, early 90s, yeah.
Okay, great. So that said, and the fact that you moved away then from, you were kind of forced to the sidelines a little bit as a clothing manufacturer, how do you still keep your feet in the bike clothing industry? You've got Wild Ride Wear. Is that for like a team, people buying like a bunch of jerseys for a bike event?
Jerseys, I have to confess, in the last year or so, I haven't even done that much cycling wear.
No?
It's all the recumbent body socks and tail socks that's kind of just taken over my business.
Okay. And you've got enough
so,
business?
We have most of my cycling stuff is like individuals, because there's not a lot of jerseys for recumbent riders out there.
Mm-hmm.
They usually take regular jerseys and they don't want the pockets on the back,
So right,
we
right.
We make jerseys with pockets on the front.
Huh.
Most people are buying regular stock off-the-rack road cycling gear because that's what's out there.
So are you desirous of having more individual walk through traffic, as it were? Do you want to get back to bike clothing wear? No? So you're not interested in getting back bike clothing anymore?
There's so many manufacturers now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I'm just a drop in the bucket, so to speak. And then there's some passion that needs to be in it.
Okay.
And the recumbent thing is just really sort of taken over my business.
Huh. So you make recumbent jerseys, body socks. What else for recumbents?
And tail socks.
And tail socks. Now, can you tell the listening audience that may not be a recumbent cyclist what a body sock is?
The body sock was originally developed, excuse me, by Gardner Martin for Easy Racers recumbent bicycles. And so Gardner came to me with this project almost 20 years ago, probably. And he'd been working on the Gold Rush, setting the land speed record and all that stuff. So he wanted something that I think could trickle down to the consumer. Not everyone's going to ride in a Kevlar shell, where you can barely see and you have a big 92 tooth front chain ring. Just kind of, record setting way to go. So he was looking for something that made the rider more aerodynamic. So he came up with this enclosure of Lycra. So that basically you enclose the rider and the bike in this Lycra skin. And so that cuts down on the drag or wind resistance and makes them faster. So
Okay.
he came to me, and we worked on the first one, and that's really how it all started. And of course, it was very slow. I might make one or three a year, things like that, for several years. And then when the internet sort of exploded, now everyone had access to information, then that's when it really took off for me, where the consumer was coming directly to me. They wanted something other than the solid color that Easy Racer was offering. They wanted something wild, and having all that wild fabric from my earlier apparel career, that was, I was the person to give them what they wanted.
Great. So, how many body socks would you say that you're pumping out the Freeform Fashion Doors a week or a day or a month? Or do you have any kind of idea of?
It's very cyclical. I mean, now, it's the winter, so it's slow. Although this year, usually I have no business for a couple of months in recumbent stuff anyway. But this year, there's people, the guys are out there riding in the snow and everything. I have to commend them. And so, right now it's a lot of individuals just calling up, going, "Oh, I need another skin." They're really using them to keep them warm more than anything. And I don't really know. They claim that they keep them a lot warmer than without.
Oh,
I have
sure.
to believe the riders. So that's mainly what they want them for, is that little bit of protection when they're out there in those winter temperatures.
Huh. So you make them more for more than just for Easy Racer. You make them for the Rans. You make them for take us a little bit through that. Who are some of your clients?
Let's see. We just For a long time, it was just the Easy Racer, because
Right.
really, that if whatever bike comes into my studio, then we make a sock for it. Now, if people call me up and I haven't done it, and it depends, there's so many variables now. It's whose brand of, who's the manufacturer, whose fairing do you have, whose rear mount on there do you have to hold the back end of the sock up. So there's all of these variables. So for a long time, it was just the Easy Racer. And let's see, then Mark Mueller, several years ago, he brought down a couple of bikes. So now we had socks for the Rans V squared, and also another Gold Rush, but for his fairing, which had a little different slope than the Zip Design fairing. And let's see, I've done one for Bachata, well, Trike, GTO Trike, did one of those for both Zipper and Mueller fairings. And then we just did a run just about 3 weeks ago with some new bikes, the much anticipated, what is it, the Javelin that the Easy Racer's putting out. New bike they're working on. Hasn't They've only sold a few yet. They're still working the kinks out of those. What else did we do? We had I'm drawing a blank now.
So when Gardner Martin first came to you with that body sock idea, what were you thinking? What was your first impression discussing that?
Well, I don't know. I don't, I think I had never even seen a recumbent bike at that point in time. So here was this crazy guy bringing me this funny looking bicycle, and it was a job to me.
Did he have his big
And I always
beard?
like to take on interesting projects that are outside of the realm of things I do, on a daily basis. I like some kind of challenge.
Did
And so I said,
Gardner,
okay, well, here's something I've never done. Let's try this.
When you first met Gardner, did he have his checker on his beard at that point? Or, I mean, he looked like a crazy guy for a while there.
Oh, yeah, he was kind of crazy-looking guy, and, it's like, who is this guy? But Gardner was great.
Wow, too wild. Do you I so it doesn't sound to me like you're selling to individuals through the internet, and you're not really doing much with bike shops because they don't unless it's a recumbent bike shop, but people aren't your bike clothing line is kind of on a back burner as it were.
Yeah, like I said, the recumbent things is taken over. That seems to be where the stronger interest is. And, it's a niche market because, well, almost everyone knows who I am at this point because I'm the woman who makes the
Yeah,
body socks and the tail socks.
you're the grand dame of recumbent cycling. You really are. Well,
It's
now,
just so funny that I end up that way.
okay, now that we're kind of a little bit getting a better feel for what fashion, freeform fashion is all about, what is Melanie all about for our listenership? You ride. How much do you ride?
Well, I have to confess that I don't ride that much anymore.
No, Melanie, you're bad.
No, I, well, no. Actually, I have been, the last couple of weeks here, I've been getting back up on my bike, and just the other day I came in from running and go, oh, yeah, I think I'm falling in love with cycling again.
All
But,
right.
cycling takes a long time, and I also have started a second career about almost 5 years ago. I teach yoga, and so that, I think, has eaten up a lot of my cycling time. I teach every day.
Well,
And
because I'm not down there anymore, I don't see you with any degree of habituation, like for example at the gym and things like that. But it's a 5 day, five to 7 day a week practice for you, your yoga, the teaching of it.
every single day, yeah. Well, I
Wow.
teach every day, sometimes twice a day. And
Wow.
like I said, that just sort of ate up some of my cycling time. Now, I do try to ride to go teach. So I do, fit some cycling in here and there.
Do you
Say
find
one, I teach in Aptos one day, so I always ride my bike out there to go teach my evening class. So I get like at least one good ride in a week.
I remember when I used to study with Perry yoga. I've been doing yoga as maybe some people that listening to these podcasts know. I've been doing yoga for a lot of years, and it's really crucial for me. It's the only way I can kind of be in this body, and in particular ride a high wheel bicycle. God forbid not for me not to do yoga. But when I used to talk with Perry about this, he always used to say that there's lots of sports that the great American pastime, baseball and basketball and I don't know so much about football, but he always talked about how those were pretty much unbalanced sports. There wasn't like a like in baseball, you for your right hand, you use a lot of your right arm and right side of your body. And he always used to kind of think that he always said that if you're going to do something outside of yoga, probably the best exercise would be either swimming or biking. Is that what you find to be true?
Well, yeah, think how I've been cycling and doing yoga for in combination for 16 years or so. It's because cycling is really linear in movement. You just have that up and down action of the thighs. And so all we're doing is tightening up our hip flexors, our glutes, our low back muscles, things like that. So yoga is a nice counter point complement to all of that tightening up,
Ah,
sort of a
great.
yin yang thing.
Right. Wow, never thought about that. Too wild. How about recumbent bikes? Have you ever ridden one? I know you don't ride one, but have you ever
I
ridden
don't
one?
own one, and I've only just dabbled around on them. I was the Easy Racer ad girl for a while,
Right,
so
right.
Gardner would, we'd go out and I'd ride a bike around along the ocean or something, and he'd take pictures. And then I've worked with a couple of guys that are, electrifying, putting motors on these recumbent bikes. Brian Howell of, was it Electric Bikes, I think, is the name of his company, something like that. Anyway, so he left one there because I did a body sock for him on his particular setup, so I had his bike I could kind of tool around a little bit on.
So if one of my dealers out there were to offer you the opportunity to swap for a recumbent bike, would you are you game?
Gee, I don't know.
Would you
You know,
ride one if you
I've been such an. I'd have to ride one around before I could say that I'd be a convert. How about that?
Well, you see me for years on mine, and
Well, that's you, though. That's not me. You know, I have to get into it. I mean, look at Fred Markham. Okay, I mean, he was a road racer, track rider, and all that stuff. And he himself, he couldn't believe, you know, when Gardner started putting him on a recumbent bike, he kept thinking, "What the heck am I doing here?" And you know, now he's still a recumbent rider. I mean, at one point he was out there coaching guys, and they'd be on their road bikes, and he'd be on the recumbent, and he would just leave them all in the dust. And they couldn't believe they couldn't catch up with him, you know?
It's always been the deal. Always, like, he used to come to the Saturday rides and just it was, oh God, Freddie's here, no one's gonna get on his wheel. Forget it. But like, have you reached a point in your own personal evolution to where there is at least an opening for you to kind of maybe try riding one around and see if you can be converted? Yeah. All right. Okay.
Absolutely. I mean, road riding is, for me, it's hard on the low back.
Right.
And then that's kind of the hindrance. I think that's why I sort of stopped riding. I was riding very, I've never raced or anything, but I was riding very competitively in my recreational riding for several years. And I think that took the fun out of riding for me. Every
Oh yeah.
ride was
Yeah.
like this pounding ride. We had this group, and I just said, "God, this isn't fun anymore." And so I stopped riding, and you know, or riding as much.
Right.
And that's it. So yeah. And plus, you know, as all of us are getting older, we still want to ride. And this is why I'm making so many body socks. Is most of my client base is in their 50s and 60s, I think, at this point. And
Right.
it's people that are still active. And the recumbent guys, they ride sometimes with far more mileage than your road guys, and they're out there and they want to ride, and they want to ride hard. It's just more comfortable for them on a recumbent.
Right. So it sounds to me like Melanie is kind of a little bit softening up a little bit toward recumbents.
Possibly, possibly. I like to
I
keep an open mind. Let me
love
just
it.
say that.
I love it. Wow, that's so very exciting. Well, listen, I'm kind of pretty much running out of time for today, but is there anything you'd like to add?
No, not that I can think of.
Is there anything we
It's
didn't cover?
been
Anything
great to
that
talk to you, and I'm always amused when someone wants to hear my story.
I think it's a great story. I really do, Melanie. In fact,
Well,
it's
you know, when it's your life, you just think that it's sort of boring and you take it for granted. I hope other people will enjoy, you know, what I've had to say today.
What about helmet covers? We didn't talk about those. Back when helmets, for example, were becoming a fashion statement, the helmet cover industry was something. You were probably one of the you were at the front edge of that too, as well, were you not?
I did a lot, yeah, I did a lot of, you know, those crazy wild helmet covers, and you know, that evolved into that sort of hard shell helmet. And Jim Gentis from Giro came and you know, approached me about doing some prototype work for their first sort of hard shell thing. And I'm trying to remember, part of it had been sort of this vacuum formed, it was the beginnings of what the helmet look like now. And then there was some kind of sewing of Lycra, you know, they were still going back to that helmet cover stretch over thing. So I did some work for him. I remember it was, I had to sign, you know, confidentiality clause and sign my life away and all of this stuff. It was very hush hush to do that. And so I've done, you know, some prototype work. I always like that because
How long did the
I don't know
helmet
how to do it usually.
How long did
What?
the helmet how long did the helmet cover rage last? Was that just like 4 or 5 years or longer, or it seems like for
A good 5 or 6 years, I
yeah
think.
uh-huh huh
Yeah.
and
I
then
mean, every so often, like once or twice a year, I have people that still want helmet covers. And I go, well, first I ask them why. And some of them, you know, because we have these really great helmets now. And some people, you know, like I said, our recumbent population is older. There's people that don't have so much hair anymore,
mm-hmm.
and they don't want the sun shining through those, like, 18 or 20 holes in their helmet.
Right. Got it. Okay. Huh.
Things like that.
All right. What other kind of prototype work have you done?
I worked with Keith Bontrager.
Mm-hmm.
Doing. I think I did some prototype clothing. This was just before he was kind of bought out by Trek, maybe in the early stages of that, doing some really, you know, Keith Bontrager specific cycling prototype stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've done all kinds of crazy things. I did something for Plantronics, some kind of little case that would hold your headphones, you know, for your cell phone, or now would be your iPod, doing some prototypes on different, you know, ideas, things like that.
So you're kind of, you'll take, if there's
some
work,
R&D for people.
If there's sewing work, Melanie will do it. It sounds like.
Pretty much. Well, you know, I always like something different. For me, it's boring. If I just had to sit there and make the same thing every single day, I don't know if I could do that. So
I understand.
This is
yeah,
I
yeah.
Do a little variety work here.
No job too wild for Melanie, huh?
Right.
I love it.
Right.
Wow.
Mix it up.
All right. Great. Well, I guess in some, what I kind of want to say, Melanie, is I just have always thought that it's great that an attractive woman like yourself, someone who's sharp and very personable, is out there doing it with us in bike mode. It's very inspiring. I knew that when I first got into the bike industry in 87, 88, you'd already an old hand at it, right? You'd been already at the trade shows.
I have a few years on you.
Yeah,
not much, but just a few years.
But it always kind of blew me away. When I first started getting into the advertising or Cycle America Regional Directories, Melanie had already been there, done that, gotten the T-shirt. And it was like, oh, boy, here comes another guy that wants to get into the bike industry. And you've seen a lot of people come and go, particularly in Santa Cruz. So, wow. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm excited to kind of have this opportunity to get a little bit closer to an understanding of what Melanie and Freeform are all about. So that said, I guess probably what I should just say is thanks for the time you took for us today, Melanie. And we'll catch each other soon. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks for you.
All right.
Take care, Melanie. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Freeform Fashions can be found on the web at bikeroute.com/freeformfashions. FreeformFashions.
That wraps up another edition of the National Bicycle Greenways Mountain Movers podcast series. We hope you enjoyed it. This has been NBG Director and Awake Again author Martin Krieg. For more info about the NBG, go to nationalbicyclegreenway.com. To access this podcast in the future, and to hear other shakers and movers that we've interviewed, go to bikeroute.com.